present your next, your final storyteller of the night, Charlotte Mom.
Hundred years. The congregation loved their space and they loved every life they had lived in it. Births, deaths, bar and bat mitzvahs, Sabbaths, and holy days. Sometimes I think a space can be sacred not just because we have done beautiful things in it, but also because perhaps we have experienced and done awful things in it, but because we believe in community, for some reason have decided to stay anyway, to make it new again. To decide to love one another again, to try and heal despite our mistakes, knowing there is no such thing as wasted time. And all of these things were true about the old synagogue. But it had to be sold. The crew had gotten smaller and older, and there wasn't enough money to keep up the building expenses. And my rabbi professor knew this, but she thought she had maybe a year before she had to broach the subject with the general congregation. So, what could she do to prepare them spiritually for this potentially devastating news? She tried to preach about it, of course, because there are a million biblical stories to draw from about moving and the meaning of home. Of course, she explored with them the moving narrative of the Ark of the Covenant, which is described in the book of Exodus and elsewhere. God has led the Hebrews all over the desert, and it's very hot and annoying, and so God is like, okay, you all need me a lot right now, I guess. So I will come live amongst you in a way you can understand, but I have some very specific regulations for what I want my house to look like, and I would like this house to be mobile, no wheels, I think. Who knows if wheels were a thing yet? So the house is gonna have to have sticks, so you can carry me around on your shoulders. You've all seen Indiana Jones, hopefully. Amazing, weird story. Surely pulling this story apart for a year would get a congregation thinking about the meaning of home and sacred space. The rabbi also explored many biblical characters who have to leave home to find God. Moses and Miriam, Ruth and Naomi, the youngest son of every family for some reason. Surely, all this good storytelling would prepare the congregation to think about their own inevitable move. Friends, you will not be as shocked as I was, I am sure, when the rabbi approached the congregation with this news at last. They were all completely taken by surprise. What? We have to move? Have you seen these perfect stained glass windows? How could we? The storytelling had not prepared anyone except the rabbi herself. Rebecca, I'm realizing now this is not directed towards you. You can obviously let other people preach. I wonder what migration feels like to a bird. What it feels like to them when they have to do it. When the geese fly in their wonky V over my apartment window calling out, do they feel like they are escaping every time? Escape to the north, escape back to the south, back to the north again? Does it feel like coming home? Does it feel like a search, an exploration in which they are convinced the goal will be different? Reading the perfect map in their bird head that no one has ever taught them about, that they were born knowing? Does it feel like a pull, something saying in their genius bird brains, follow, follow, follow? Or a push from behind, something saying, better get gone, quick. Are they tired of having to do it every year? Or would it be more tiring to sit still, to resist the world turning, the cycle of follow, get? The theologian C.S. Lewis says we might treat bad weather, bad like a rough type of play or a rough joke from God. While I don't think Lewis's 1940s perspective quite perceived the ecological crisis we are now in, the thought does help me when I am walking against a sideways wind. I say in a deadpan way to my creator, ha ha, you're very funny. And it helps. Maybe I smile. Helps to see the buffeting of self as sometimes rough play. Because my query is usually, why can't you let me be still? Why don't you let the geese stop for a year? In my other job, I am a housing specialist for migrants and asylum seekers, so I have some serious questions for God about this constant moving and change. It is not always rough play, we know. In fact, for most of the planet, it seems just ceaselessly rough. And yet, the answer might not be as serious as I want it to be. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? God says to Job. You can go ahead and tell me if you have some understanding. Perhaps I am the serious, self-centered one thinking that movement is somehow a punishment. When all of this blameless creation, all of the planets in their courses, all of the stars in their rotation, all the babies rolling out of their cribs, all the marshlands and ocean tides and ants forever pushing grains of rice, all yeast percolating in its warm bread, all the breath that comes in and out of me ceaselessly saying, follow and get gone, allowing itself to be moved. Don't I trust the wings of the goose? Don't I trust being a part of this created nest?